This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Christy Schallenberger. The Bethel City Council has backtracked on previous decisions to block two marijuana stores from opening. The council last night changed its protest of licenses for both Cusco Kush and Alaskan Grown Cannabis to conditional protests. Now, if the marijuana stores can follow city and state fire marshal codes, they will be allowed to open. Cusco Kush has one more hurdle to clear. The business has to convince the city of Bethel to make its first property sale in over 11 years. The store's owners have been leasing land from the city since April. But the city said it can't lease property to a marijuana store since marijuana sales are illegal under federal law. Cusco Kush threatened to sue, and now the council is considering selling the land to the store, with a measure already introduced to do so. Last night, two members of the public spoke against the sale. First was Longhouse Hotel Manager Don Black.
This sale, as well as any sale, should follow the bidding process as already established by the City of Bethel.
Black said sale of the land without competitive bidding would be unfair. The property in question is right next to the Longhouse Hotel. He says that because the original terms of the lease between the city and Cusco Kush required the tenant to observe all state and federal laws, it actually prohibited a marijuana store. But things get complicated. A month after the original lease was signed, Acting City Manager Bill Howell signed an addendum. It states that the City of Bethel understands and agrees that the land will be used for marijuana sales. Former Councilmember Leif Albertson also spoke against the sale. He warned that the city gives up a lot of flexibility by selling land.
There's a dearth of land in town. When we sell land, we don't get it back.
The council is due to make a final decision on the land sale December 3rd, with another opportunity for public comment. And in more council news, filling city vacancies rounded out the rest of the Bethel City Council meeting last night, along with a half a million dollar grant to improve safety in Bethel schools. The council approved adding $10,000 to the budget for recruiting for the positions of city manager and city attorney. The money will go toward additional advertising and travel. The application period for both positions was extended to November 29th. This was after the council rejected all the finalists found by executive search firm GovHR. In the search for a new police chief, Acting City Manager Bill Howell announced he has a panel currently reviewing applications. The panel includes the city's HR manager, acting police chief, a representative from the district attorney's office, and the executive director of Tundra Women's Coalition. The city council made its first appointment to the Board of Ethics. Gerald Dominic will pioneer the board created to judge any complaints of ethics violations made by city council members. And finally, the city received $500,000 from the U.S. Department of Justice to improve safety in Bethel schools. The bulk of the funding will be used to install a secure entrance at Bethel Regional High School. Staff will be able to use cameras to monitor who is entering and buzz people in when they are deemed safe. The council directed the city administration to accept the grant money last night. And the Ruchikahim Ute Native Council in Bethel is calling the federal planning process for how 13 million acres of public land is managed in the region, quote, woefully inadequate. Tribal leaders sent a letter to the Bureau of Land Management earlier this fall saying that the agency has not taken seriously their concerns about protecting land that is necessary for subsistence and maintaining their way of life. BLM says they are and are taking more steps to reach out. At a federal subsistence meeting in Bethel last week, Bonnie Million had this to say to the tribal representatives assembled there.
We are always, always, always available for government consultation or ex-appropriation consultation at any time.
Million works at the Bureau of Land Management as the Anchorage field officer. She was in town for the meeting and to discuss the Bering Sea Western Interior Management Plan. It's a very broad blueprint that dictates how land, managed by BLM, will be used in the region. Her response comes months after tribes in western Alaska expressed their disappointment in how BLM handled their input. The Ruchikahim Ute Native Council in Bethel is one of the tribes. This past spring, its natural resource director, Mary Mathias, got an email.
The email is titled BLM Community Meeting and ANILCA 810 Subsistence Hearing regarding the Bering Sea Western, Bering Sea Western Interior Draft Resource Management Plan.
The email offered government-to-government consultation to ONC over this plan, but it offered few clues on how important the broad plan was to the region. Mathias says she notified ONC's executive director and then ignored it. They were focused on other things, like protesting the proposed Donlin gold mine and preparing for fishing. That meeting came and went. BLM finished the comment period on the plan and has begun preparing to release the final version. Mathias says ONC only learned how important the plan was until after the comment period had passed.
We felt like we lost our opportunity.
ONC, along with two other tribes from the YK Delta, sent BLM a letter calling the planning process, quote, woefully inadequate, and demanded consultation. Months earlier, in June, 20 tribes sent a 10-page letter to BLM, detailing the ways in which they felt the agency failed them in the process. The BLM plan is a document that can be used when a project is proposed on BLM land. It lists all the land that BLM manages and the land that belongs to the state and private landowners. It shows how that land is being used, like where the Iditarod Trail goes through, which areas tribes rely on most for subsistence, and which areas are rich in minerals and could be good for mining. The last plan that came out for Southwest Alaska was in 1981, almost 40 years ago. BLM State Director Chad Padgett said it was time for a new one.
Well, you have to do that because, you know, things change, right? You're looking at climate change. You're looking at, maybe communities are starting to grow or shrink, or the land pattern has changed.
Tribes in Western Alaska hunt and fish for the bulk of their food on their ancestral lands. So any updating needs to include their input to ensure they can practice their way of life. And because tribes are sovereign, their political status requires more collaboration from the federal government than just the standard public comment. Anvik Native Council participated as a cooperating agency. It gave them more leverage than the government-to-government process, but the tribe's environmental manager, Nathan Ellswick, says they still felt left out.
And we already knew our government-to-government relationship. We could ask for consultations any time, but that didn't really give us the seat at the table.
BLM's Padgett calls the complaints from ONC and the Anvik Native Council, quote, disingenuous. He says BLM employees dedicated a lot of time to make sure tribes were consulted in the planning process.
So in some cases, and I'll be very frank, I think they're maybe they've been convinced by outside parties that we're not hearing them because the outside party didn't get what they want. But that's not how this works. We're not always going to agree on everything.
Back in Bethel, BLM's Bonnie Million offered more meetings with ONC. It's too late, she told them, to include ONC's input into the plan unless it's new information. But Mathias says ONC felt better about the process after that meeting.
I do have a little confidence, feeling better that Bonnie did offer to meet with the tribe.
ONC plans to take Million up on her offer for more meetings. The plan is scheduled to be released in the next year. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Christy Schallenberger in Bethel. And finally, the village of Quinnahock will build a brand new clinic to replace their old one. The Indian Health Service awarded $2 million to Quinnahock through the Small Ambulatory Program. Native Village President Darren Cleveland says the current clinic is in pretty bad shape.
It's deteriorating. Not on any foundation. It's just moving along with the ground shifting.
He says he expects the new clinic to be built by spring of 2022. A year ago, the village of Kungiganuk received the same $2 million grant from IHS to build a new clinic. That new structure will be over 2,700 square feet, almost three times larger than the old one. Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation Communications Director Tiffany Zolkuski expects the new clinic in Kong to be completed by mid-2020. This is KYUK News. Thanks for listening. I'm Christy Schallenberger. Send your tips and comments to news@kyuk.org and stay tuned for Yukden News coming up.